San Francisco, City of Ideals. The Civil Rights Movement, the Summer of Love, recycling waste. San Francisco is a city that always seems to be ahead of other places. Here are just some ways the city has already changed people's lives and will continue to do so.
The Utopian Dream. Today, the word hippie first evokes a fashion style, natural hair, loose clothes, and psychedelic patterns. But in the late 1960s and early 70s, hippies were young people hoping to change the world. They were anti-capitalist and believed in communitarian ideals. They were pacifists who led the protests against the Vietnam War. They espoused free love, rejecting the traditional American values they'd grown up with. They cared about the planet and warned that we were destroying the environment. It was a big radical movement that challenged the status quo. San Francisco was the capital of the hippie era and the city where tens of thousands of people from all over the world congregated in 1967 for what was called the Summer of Love. It was hippie heaven, with a whole area of the city, Haight-Ashbury, being dominated by communes. Sadly, the sudden arrival of too many young people tested the dream to destruction, many finding only homelessness, drug highs, and female exploitation disguised as sexual liberation. By the mid-1970s, the hippie dream was dead. But not entirely. As each of the following sections show, much of their idealism remained hardwired into San Franciscan culture and re-emerged in other ways. Arguably, it found its ultimate expression in the internet. The engineers of Silicon Valley in the early years were passionate about resource sharing, free exchange, and individual expression, all fundamentally hippie ideals. Had the internet been invented anywhere else, it would no doubt have been very different.
The Sustainable City. In America, around 40% of all food is wasted, and 61% of that waste occurs in the home, as people buy too much food and then throw it away when it goes out of date. In Europe, the figure is 20%. It's better, but still bad. Generally, this waste ends up in landfill sites, where it breaks down, releasing vast quantities of the greenhouse gas methane in the process, and most of this waste comes from cities. But not so in San Francisco. 2 decades ago, when most places were only just starting basic recycling programs, the city set itself the extremely ambitious objective of achieving zero waste by the year 2020. It failed to reach that target, but today only sends 20% of its waste to landfill. For comparison, the figures for New York and Chicago are 83% and 91%, respectively. Back in 1996, San Francisco began its transformation by giving inhabitants 3 bins, one for trash that goes to landfill, one for recycling, and one for organic waste. Since 2009, it has been a crime not to separate out organic matter from other rubbish, a measure that the residents of San Francisco support almost unanimously. As a result, the city collects 500 tons of organic matter a day. It is then taken out of the city to a site where it is processed and rapidly transformed into compost, thanks to bacterial decomposition. The resulting compost is then sold to farmers all over California, creating a virtuous cycle whereby San Francisco's waste helps keep the state's agricultural land fertile instead of aggravating climate change.
The fight for equal rights. In 2004, a couple named Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon walked into the San Francisco City Hall and did something that no two women had ever done before. They got married. At the time, American law didn't allow same-sex unions, but San Francisco's progressive mayor, Gavin Newsom, unilaterally ordered marriage licenses to be issued to gay couples. "San Francisco is a proud city," he declared. "We do not tolerate discrimination." That day, the city began a decade-long battle for gay rights that was ultimately settled in favour of same-sex unions by the Supreme Court, although today's Conservative Court may yet reverse that decision. That the campaign began in San Francisco is no surprise. The city, sometimes called the gay capital of the world, has a long history of supporting gay rights. It was here in 1977 that America's first openly gay politician was elected, Harvey Milk. Not long after his election, he was assassinated. However, according to some researchers, San Francisco's association with sexual tolerance goes back much further than the hippie era and has its origins during the gold rush. Following the discovery of gold in 1848, the city's population exploded from 800 to 35,000, and 95% of these people were young men. In such an unbalanced environment, normal social rules could no longer operate, and it became acceptable for men to form couples, to cross-dress, and so on. Despite later attempts to legally enforce traditional values, the city never lost its reputation as a place where difference is accepted and even celebrated. Today, San Francisco is prominent in the latest wave of social changes, including trans rights and gender issues. American society is as deeply divided over these questions as it was by the hippies and gay rights. But history suggests that San Francisco will prove to be on the side that ultimately prevails.
The place of sanctuary. Back in 1989, San Francisco became a sanctuary city, following the example of the Berkeley neighborhood on the Bay of San Francisco, where the concept originated in 1971. Since then, the idea has grown steadily, with more than 560 American cities, states, and counties having declared themselves as sanctuaries. But what does the concept mean? It is estimated that around 3% of the U.S. population, 10.5 million people, are illegal immigrants. Conservatives generally see this as a problem that must be addressed, such as by Donald Trump's promise to build a beautiful wall along the Mexican border to stop more arrivals. For those who are already in the U.S., a federal agency known by the inhospitable acronym ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is charged with locating and deporting undocumented individuals, often in ways that many of us would consider inhumane, given that these people have generally built productive lives and had families in the USA. A sanctuary city is a place where the authorities, local government officials, police, schools, will do nothing to assist ICE unless the immigrant in question is a violent criminal, which, unsurprisingly, almost none are. Around two-thirds of illegal immigrants have been living and working in the USA for over 10 years, forming a labor resource on which many businesses and individuals depend. The sanctuary logic is that it benefits everyone if immigrants feel they can build lives, educate their children, and report crime without the fear of being deported. Ultimately, most people in sanctuary cities believe that immigrants should be offered a route to full citizenship. As a port city that has always been multicultural, it's natural that San Francisco has traditionally been on the pro-immigrant side of American society. But will that attitude prevail? Nobody can say, but as U.S. rivalry with China intensifies, some people now argue that America needs hundreds of millions of new immigrants if it is not to be eclipsed by the Asian giant.